Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today is an adaptation by Morton Wishengrad of William Manor's Father and the Angels. Featured as the narrator is Leon Janney. Willie is played by Edwin Bruce, and the role of Father is taken by Edgar Staley.
Father had a beard like Ulysses S. Grant. He was short and fat, too. He always wore the kind of tie Abraham Lincoln wore. All through my childhood, I thought of Father in terms of great and heroic men. And with reason, too. In 1913, when I was 10 years old, most of the people of Zanesville, Ohio, where Father was a rabbi, most of the people agreed that Father wasn't just an ordinary man. He had direct contact with God. He was a prophet. I remember saying to him,
Father, what's a prophet?
Prophets were men who did very important jobs for God. You understand, Willie?
Yes, Father. But please don't call me Willie. Mm-hmm. I've asked you a trillion times to call me Bill.
I'll try to remember, Willie.
For a great man, Father was forever doing things around the house completely foreign to the epic grandeur of prophets. For instance, he always wanted to know what Mother was cooking.
What have we here?
Cover that pot.
You mustn't frighten a man.
You're always looking in the pot.
I'm hungry.
You haven't finished your sermon. Go and finish it.
Sermons? Wouldn't you think people would get tired of hearing sermons? That they'd reach the stage where they wouldn't need sermons?
Will you get out of my kitchen, or do you want a sermon from me?
Come, Willie. Your mother doesn't want us. We shall pay a visit to the horses in the firehouse.
The Monroe Street Fire Station was very fond of Father. Each Passover, he saw to it that the firemen got wine from the Seder. But the way they handled it, it became secular awfully fast. Father liked talking to old man Devers, who was a good fireman, even if he couldn't say reverend.
Tell me, Rebner, ain't you scared to preach to so many people?
At first, I used to be frightened. Then I pretended that every member of the congregation was a head of cabbage. I never had any trouble after that.
Old man Devers used to be a drunk. But Father convinced the fire chief he wouldn't drink again. So they didn't fire him. And because he was afraid to hurt Father, old man Devers stayed sober. But this time, the whole fire station was in trouble.
What's that, Mr. Devers?
Well, they got this here new gasoline wagon up at the hose house on Hemline Avenue. So they figure they won't need our station no more.
Why, that's terrible, Mr. Devers.
No, worse than that, Revner. They figure Hemline Avenue will be able to take care of any fires down this way.
Why, that means your job, doesn't it? And all the others.
Yeah, they call me behind the times, Revner. I don't care what you say, but a hose house ought to have horses. Horses are more reliable than human beings. Or gasoline. Now, you take a horse and...
I know exactly how you feel, Mr. Devers. Come, Willie, we're going to see Mayor Crawford.
Rabbi,
I'm afraid there's nothing I can do.
But what's going to happen to Devers? He's old, and what's going to happen to the others?
What's going to happen to the horses?
Shh, Willie, be still.
Well, it's a matter of the budget. Now, a gasoline engine is a costly affair, Rabbi.
But so are human lives, Mr. Mayor Crawford.
Well, I wish I could do something, but I can't. Now, if the lumber yard or the wagon works were to say they needed the added protection of the station, that would be different.
If it hadn't been for that statement of the mayor's about the lumber yard and the wagon works, I would never have thought of setting fire to Jennings' lumber yard.
That boy. Si, have you seen your brother, Willie?
I haven't seen him, Mother.
I had divine sanction for what I was about to do.
The prophets were men who did very important jobs for God.
And fathers trying to save the station certainly put him in the prophet class.
He's doing a job for God.
Then I made a deductive leap.
God needs help. Father is trying to help God. I'll help Father.
I appointed myself to the position of assistant prophet.
I'm going to prove that they've got to have the Monroe Street fire station.
I had an awfully hard time getting the lumber yard to burn.
The sugar, please. Thank you. Well, Willie?
Yes, Father?
That could have been a bad fire last night. Lucky it wasn't. What's the matter, Willie? Fires are usually a source of great pleasure to you.
Willie, stop wolfing down your oatmeal. Willie, who gave you permission to leave the table?
At school, by casual questioning, I found out that the Monroe Street fire station had settled the smoke from the wet timbers in record time.
What about the Hamline hose house?
Ah, they was a bust. Why, 2 blocks from the station, that new gasoline truck stops. Bluey, like that. Then they start cranking. Everybody taking turns cranking, 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 till they was all worn out.
Happiness and thankfulness surged up inside me. I looked up at the sky, where God was. The fire I had set had been a holy fire. It had served its divine purpose.
Willie.
Yes, Father?
They're not going to close down the Monroe Street fire station.
Oh, is that so, Father?
That is so, Willie. Mr. Devers came in to tell me.
Oh.
I think that maybe after supper a nice, relaxing walk would do us both some good. Nice walk to the bridge and back.
Do you have to walk to the bridge? There are always bums there.
Bums are people, too.
Oh, very fine people. None better.
Father, I think I'd prefer to go to bed right after supper. Very well, Father. I'll be very happy to go for a walk with you. Are you stopping, Father?
Willie?
We haven't reached the bridge, you know.
Willie, did you do it?
Oh, look, Father. There's train engine Joe.
Clear the track!
Oh, hiya, Revner.
Good evening, Joe.
Clear the track!
Isn't that wonderful, Father? Everyone in Zanesville knows you.
Willie, did you do it?
Do it, Father?
Mr. Devers thought he saw you at the lumber yard last night. He wasn't sure.
Well, what was old man Devers doing there last night?
He was slightly intoxicated.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, he'd been worried about the fire station closing, or he wouldn't have been intoxicated. He was trying to sleep it off. Well, Willie?
Father, I told you a trillion times not to call me Willie. My name is... Old Man Deaver saw me, all right.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, I didn't want him to close up the fire station.
You didn't want them to lose their jobs, is that it?
I guess so. And I didn't want them to take away the fire horses.
But how about the lumber in Mr. Jennings' lumber yard?
Only a few pieces burned. The stuff was wet.
I shall go to Mr. Jennings and pay him. Now, Willie, why didn't you come to me and speak to me about it?
I was going to, Father. Thought about it, but...
You were afraid I'd forbid it.
Yes. Aren't you going to say something to me?
You've got rings under your eyes.
You can give me a whipping if you want to. I'll take my pants down.
I don't believe in whippings.
Don't you, Father?
No, Willie.
Then why does it hurt me so much?
Nothing much happened after that for a while. I got into a couple of fights. Father bought a second-hand car.
Father, did you listen to the engine?
Oh, I didn't, Si, but the salesman had an honest face.
Father was an easy mark for salesmen. But it turned out to be a very good car.
You see, people are all right after all.
Father was always talking about people.
Never be disappointed in other people. Only in yourself. You be the way you want people to be. Here's a book for you to read.
Father believed in books. He liked to think of the Jewish people as an Am HaSefer, a book-reading people. That was why he was such an easy mark for the salesman.
Lady, I got a crate of books in the truck. 32 volumes of something called Homiletic Commentaries. What do you want it?
Oh, that man is going to drive us to the poorhouse. Well, bring it here, driver. Put it between the after-dinner speeches and the Babylonian Talmud.
The day I finally fought with Steamboat Fulton because he bullied me, I must have been very tired because I fell asleep at supper. I felt Father pick me up and put me over his shoulder. He grumbled to Mother.
Oh, what will people say? The son of a rabbi beating up other children.
Steamboat Fulton is a head taller and much older. Besides, he's a bully.
Yeah, he could have hurt Steamboat Fulton.
Well, what do you think Steamboat Fulton did to him? Hold him better. Do you want him to fall?
Oh, I suppose I'll have to be carrying him like this until the day he's married.
Through a haze, I remember his carrying me upstairs to my bed. He puffed and snorted like a whale. I was getting heavy. I remember waking up while he was undressing me.
Go away. You act like I'm a baby.
Aren't you?
What's a little fight? Talk like I'm a real baby.
Willie, you think it's so bad being a baby? Someday you won't think so. Being a baby is as fine as being an apple on a tree. Good night.
Then Mother came up. Mother was always scolding me.
Wash both your hands, not just one.
It was hard to live with Mother.
Come, wash your feet in the sink. You'll go up and live in pool rooms.
And that afternoon, when Mother had caught me fighting, she'd hit me with a broom. Now I thought she was going to hit me again. I was standing on the bed in my underwear. I tried to duck, but she swooped me to her.
Willie, you're a bad boy.
She held me tight. A hot tear hit my collarbone. It came from Mother. It had to, because my collarbone wasn't covered by my underwear. I think it was not long after that Father and Mother had a sharp disagreement about Mrs. Coleman. Gossip travels fast in a small town, and gossip can be cruel.
Mrs. Coleman is none of your business.
On the contrary, my dear, my business is to attend to the welfare of my congregation.
Don't meddle in her affairs. She's not worth it.
I'd be a mighty poor rabbi if I didn't try to reunite a family that's on the verge of separation.
Any woman who will leave her husband must be a loose woman.
That's terribly unfair, my dear. You don't know her provocation.
Oh, I suppose you know.
I didn't say that.
What did you say?
I merely tried to tell you that it isn't proper to condemn a woman in advance before hearing.
Oh, it isn't proper to condemn the woman in advance, but you say to me you don't know her provocation. That sounds as though you've already condemned her.
I haven't condemned anyone, but if you want facts instead of rumor, the fact is that Mr. Kalman gambles. He's gambled away more than one rent payment at cards.
Don't try to change the subject. She's a loose woman.
Now, my dear...
And don't you my dear me. She's as hard as they come.
Mother.
Keep out of this, Willie. I see what you've done. You've corrupted the child by defending that woman.
I want Willie to understand.
I don't want to discuss the matter any further.
Mother.
Willie, I've already spoken to you.
I know that, Mother, but I'm confused.
The whole world is confused, especially your father. What are you confused about?
Now, take an egg.
What about an egg?
When you speak of a soft-boiled egg, you speak of a loose egg, don't you?
What is there to be confused about?
Well, if Mrs. Common is a loose woman, how can she be as hard as they come?
Oh, goodness, get out of this kitchen. Whose side of the family does that boy take after? I'm sure it's not mine.
Willie, put your bike down.
Yes, Father.
Willie, what's the most important thing in the world?
Well, I don't know.
Peace and understanding.
Oh, she'll cool off, Father. She always does.
Oh, I wasn't thinking of your mother. At this moment, your mother is less important than Mrs. Kalman's broken home. Willie, I shall have to see Mrs. Kalman.
Must you, Father?
Yes, Willie.
Have you told Mother?
There are certain things we shall not mention to your mother.
Well, you know best.
Willie, I think I'd like you to come along with me.
But she's a loose woman. I'm sorry.
Come along, Willie.
There was no question about it. Father was taking me along for protection. We found Mrs. Coleman's house. I could see that Father was rather nervous.
Oh, I thought it was...
Mrs. Kalman was beautiful. She was as beautiful as a princess. She was like something drawn on the cover of a book. She had yellow hair.
Won't you come in?
Father held my hand. We sat down.
Rabbi.
Yes, Mrs. Kalman.
I didn't know you had such a big boy.
He is very big for his age.
Isn't he?
He certainly is.
Did you say something, Rabbi?
It's a very warm day, isn't it?
It is rather hot.
Mrs. Kalman, I...
Yes, Rabbi?
According to the thermometer on the front of the drugstore, it's 92.
You don't say.
Yeah, and that's in the shade.
Goodness.
The grass on your front lawn is all scorched.
Isn't it terrible?
They would have kept it up all day. Only Marie, Mrs. Kalman's daughter, came in and took me into the backyard. Marie had yellow hair just like her mother.
Get on the swing, Willie.
With you, Marie?
What a silly boy. Of course with me.
It's a very hot day.
Who cares?
According to the thermometer on the front of the drugstore, it's 92 degrees.
Come here, you little baby.
I think my father wants me.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing.
Look at me, Willie.
What?
Pretty boy. Pretty, pretty. Oh, Willie.
Marie, let's go. Marie, I'll tell my mother.
Silly Billy Willie. Me, Abu.
Does oo love me? I don't know what you're saying.
Abu, Abu. Itty bitty pretty Willie. Me, Abu.
Marie. Please, Marie. It's 92 degrees. And in the shade.
She was Delilah and I was Samson. She was going to snip off my hair.
Me, Abu.
I had a terrible thought. Maybe inside the house, Mrs. Kalman was saying...
Rabbi, me, Abu.
What would Mother say? I had to save Father from a terrible fate.
Willie, come back! Where are you running?
But Father didn't have to be saved. He was standing near the door. Mrs. Kalman didn't at all look like Delilah. She looked sad and happy at the same time. She had been crying.
Rabbi, as long as I live...
No, it's all right, Mrs. Kalman. It'll work out.
As long as I live, I'll never forget what you've done.
Oh, not at all.
But I do want you to understand how appreciative I am.
Oh, here's Willie.
You have a fine father, Willie.
We'd better be going, Willie. Your mother will think the earth has swallowed us.
On our way home, he said to me,
Mrs. Kalman promised to give Mr. Kalman another chance. Everything will be all right now.
Then Mrs. Kalman isn't a loose woman, is she, Father?
Mrs. Kalman is an Ashes Hail.
What's that, Father?
Well, you should know that. You had it in Hebrew school.
You think I can remember every old thing?
This is not every old thing. Ashes Hail means a virtuous woman.
Is Mother an Ashes Hail?
Oh, how can you ask such a question about your own mother?
I just asked, that's all.
That night, Mother found out about Father and Mrs. Kalman.
And furthermore, it was none of your business.
I wondered if Father was still so positive that Mother was an Ashes Hail. The Colemans were reunited because of Father. And every New Year's after that, Father would get a card from them. A very big and fancy card, the kind that had lace on it. People were always grateful to Father. And Father was always doing whatever he could for people. And I was very proud. I thought of him as part of a movie. Indians circling the covered wagon, shooting flaming arrows into them. Then the cloud of yellow dust, the cavalry. Father was like the cavalry. This gave me a new insight into the movies. I watched the screen very carefully, and suddenly I saw something that made me come out all over in goosebumps.
Father, in that movie, they were alive. I tell you, they were alive, just like me. They had a father and a mother. They ate, they slept, they played, things happened to them. I bet they could even tell stories about a school teacher or a fight they had or anything.
I suddenly felt very close to everyone, as though they were all my brothers and sisters. If they were sick, I would take care of them. If they were poor, I would be concerned about them. I would say hello to people when I saw them on the street. I would...
Willie, these ideas you're thinking, they're great ideas. They're Father's ideas. The world began with Adam and Eve, and everybody in the world is related.
Willie, what's the matter with you? Do you need some castor oil?
I don't need any castor oil. Why don't people leave me alone?
Here I was thinking about human destiny. About life and death. And all Mother could think of was that I needed castor oil.
Oh, well. It always happens, and it's all mixed up.
It was like the time I found Father scrubbing the floor in Mr. Schneller's kitchen. Because Mr. Schneller was all alone and sick in bed.
I won't tell Mother.
Well, that's decent of you, Willie.
But boy, she knew about you scrubbing. Boy, oh boy.
Well, no one tells her, she won't know.
Uh-huh.
Willie, don't look at me with such large eyes. I'm a selfish man.
You? Think I'm a baby?
But I am, Willie. I do the things that are to my own interest. I believe that all individuals are important, and that includes myself. You should do unto yourself as you should do to others.
Yeah? Then why did you scrub the floor?
Pure selfishness. It struck me as a symbol of something fine. An old sick man all alone, and I came and scrubbed his floor.
You mean you scrubbed it because it was a symbol and not because it was dirty or anything?
Anybody could clean a dirty floor. But to clean a clean floor, that was another matter. I think Father was hard to figure out because he was on the side of the angels. You would think that because of that, God would have wanted him to live a little longer. But it didn't work out that way. Father had an operation. When the operation was over, they let me in to see him.
Hello, Willie. There's a chair for you.
told you trillion times. Don't call me Willie.
Yes. Bill?
I saw the green mark on Father's throat. The copper of his collar button had made it. Years and years of wearing a collar button. And then later, I saw the nurse come out of the room carrying Father's clothes. And that meant that he would never wear them again. That he was finished with life. There was a yellow country road I found, and I was walking on it. I lay down on the grass where a robin had been. My ear was in the grass and pressed close to the ground. I heard the world's heartbeat. It was beating just like my heart. In the synagogue, everybody in Zanesville was there for the funeral. Mr. Devers and the mayor, the train engine Joe, and a lot of bums and a lot of other people. Mrs. Coleman was there, too. And Mrs. Coleman said it.
He didn't have a single enemy. After all, how could he? Before you can have an enemy, you have to be an enemy yourself.
Our drama today, entitled Father and the Angels, was adapted for radio by Morton Wishengrad from the book of the same name by William Manners. Heard as Father was Edgar Staley. Edwin Bruce was Willie, and Leon Janney was the narrator. Morris Momorsky conducted the musical score. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor Robert H. Siegel. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Free time has been made available for the presentation of this program by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. The Eternal Light is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.